Hey, good morning, Sower Nation. It is Friday, September the 26th, in the year of our Lord 2025. I'm John David Walt, and this is your wake-up call. So glad to be with you today. If you're watching on YouTube, I'll just point out I'm wearing a special hat today. We'll say more about it tomorrow, but this is the Chris Tomlin new record release, The King is Still the King, and it releases today, and you can find that out there anywhere on the internet. They're playing songs, Spotify, YouTube. But I just want to encourage you to go out and listen to that music. It's really good. And tomorrow he's going to be with us on the wake up call, and he's going to be singing the title track, The King is Still the King. Yeah, so that's good news on this Friday. It's going to be a good day. We're up to Matthew chapter 26. We're coming right to the end of season one, if you will, on the gospel marathon journey, super marathon. We're going to be talking about worship today, which I've learned so much about from my old friend, Chris. But we need to dive in. Jesus is ready to meet. He's ready to get this party started, this meeting with him. So wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you. And we're praying in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our entry today is entitled, How to Worshipfully Waste Your Life on Jesus. How about that? Our text, Matthew 26, you're reading the whole chapter, but we're going to zero in on verses 6 through 9. Hear now the word of the Lord. Now when Jesus was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, a woman came up to him with an alabaster flask of very expensive ointment, and she poured it on his head as he reclined at table. And when the disciples saw it, they were indignant, saying, Why this waste? For this could have been sold for a large sum and given to the poor. The word of the Lord. Now consider this. We've come to a hard stop today on the itinerary of our hot air balloon journey through gospel number one. We will stay on the ground here in Jerusalem for a few days before reboarding for the next leg of the pilgrimage, also known as Mark. Matthew 26 must be among the most consequential chapters in the whole Gospels. Consider what is covered here. Number one, the plot of the religious leaders to kill Jesus. Number two, the Passover celebration and the institution of the Lord's Supper. Number three, the Garden of Gethsemane. Number four, Judas Iscariot betrays Jesus to the religious authorities for 30 pieces of silver. Number five, the arrest of Jesus. Number six, the trial of Jesus before the high priest. And number seven, the disowning and denial of Jesus by Peter. That's a lot in one chapter. And yet, given all of these catastrophic and cataclysmic events, Jesus lifts up another event and identifies it as among the most significant events in the history of the world. An unnamed woman at the home of a named leper, Simon, engages in an unfathomable act of unreasonable love and mercy. She breaks open an alabaster jar of perfume, the cost of which, another gospel writer will tell us, equaled an entire year's wages, and pours it out on Jesus' body. Notice what his, quote, indignant followers said. "Why this waste?" they asked. "This perfume could have been sold at a high price and money given to the poor." That's verses 8 and 9. Notice what Jesus said. "Why are you bothering this woman? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, but you will not always have me. When she poured this perfume on my body, she did it to prepare me for burial." It's verses 10 through 12. How do the people closest and most committed to Jesus completely lose the plot? It's a serious question. We think the gospel is one thing, and it turns out to be something completely different. We think it's doing good things for God. It turns out to be risk-taking affection for Jesus and an unreasonable abandonment of our lives to Him. That is the plot. "Truly, I tell you, wherever this gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her." Verse 13. Isn't that fascinating? Of all the stories, it is this one Jesus most closely associates with the gospel. Why? This woman's unreasonable and even inappropriate public display of affection foreshadowed the unreasonable and unfathomable public display of affection Jesus would offer on the cross. The gospel is not a message, nor can it be reduced to one. The gospel is an unreasonable, unfathomable, incomprehensible, and inappropriate display and demonstration of the affection of God for sinners. We will behold this story again when it comes back around in the fourth gospel. There, we will get this poignant line, "And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume." John 12:3. This is what the gospel does. It fills the world with the fragrance of love. "Truly, I tell you, wherever this gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her." Maybe the bigger question is, if this story is not being told, is the gospel even being preached? Wow. Well, let's Let's pray. Lord Jesus, would you, I've lost my prayer, but I'm just going to pray just right out of my heart here. Not that that wasn't, but Lord Jesus, would you make me the jar of costly perfume? I think maybe I am that. Would you break open? Would you give me the audacity to break open the jar of my life and pour it out on you, to waste my life on you? That's it. Yeah, I just thank you, Jesus, for going to the home of Simon the leper. Thank you for going there. Thank you for this woman and for making sure we would hear this story. We remember her today. And would you train us, train me to tell this story with my very life? Show me what it would mean to break open the jar of costly perfume that is my life and to pour it out on you wastefully and worshipfully. It will be for your glory, for others' gain, and for my good. Praying in your name, Jesus. Amen. Our journal prompts today. I wonder, when is the last time you got carried away in your affection and devotion to Jesus? How might I have lost or be losing the plot? How might we recover the plot? What did you notice about the scarcity and abundance interplay going on in the story today? We're going to sing one of the newer hymns in our hymn book today, number 65, Bless the Lord, O My Soul. It's Matt Redman. Comes from 2011. It's one of the beautiful things about our hymnal, right, is that you got songs that are over 1,000 years old, and you got songs that were written in 2011. That's why we need the book in our hands, friends. Hope you're getting that. Every day I put that link on here, hoping you'll order it and get it. I was so thrilled when I was with Maxie and Jerry last couple of days. They both had one of them had a blue one and one of them had a red one. And we just held them up together and sang that hymn. And I got a red one and I got a leather one. This is gorgeous. And our team had my name engraved on it. Well, it's Friday. This is a song we can sing all day long. And let's give it all we got. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. I worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Oh, my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I worship your holy name. You're rich in love and you're slow to anger. Your name is great and your heart is kind. For all your goodness, I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship your holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. I worship your holy name. Last verse. And on that day when my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time has come, still my soul will sing your praise unending. Here we go. 10,000 years and then forevermore. All you got, church. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O my soul. Worship your holy name. Sing like never before. O my soul. I worship your holy name. Let's just see that perfume. Let's just picture that scene. She's bringing that jar. She's got to be kind of nervous. Like, am I going to really do this? And yet she just goes over that. She just jumps right past any sense of inhibition. And she's like, He's done everything for me. And she breaks open that jar. I mean, they're just probably in slow motion. These guys are like, what? 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 Years worth of, think about what you made last year. Just poured it out on his body. Just gone. Gone. Wasted. The Bible says wasted. They said, why this waste? She's like, this isn't waste. This is worship. Let's just see that scene, remembering her in her memory, looking at Jesus. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Oh, my soul, worship your holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I worship your holy name. Jesus, yes, I worship your holy name. Lord Jesus, we will worship your holy name. Amen. What a good Friday together, meeting with Jesus on the wake-up call. You're ready for the day. The seeds are already in your pocket. They're just ready to go. Just carry that. Just beam. Beam that spirit. You are the jar and the fragrance of Jesus everywhere you go. It's just coming out into this world. That's what we're going to be about today. Look forward to a special day tomorrow on the wake-up call. But for now, for the awakening, I'm J.D. Walt. I'll see you on the field.